will not want to talk take much of the time, but explain a little bit about the Mahima, the glories of this particular temple. On your left hand, you will find the presiding deity of Vrindavan, Srimati Tulasi Devi. When you sit here and chant, you will see many nice Brijvasis coming, offering lamps and incense, and say, principal deity, principal, that means the main deity of Vrindavan. Vrindadevi is extremely special. First, as far as her identity is concerned and her service, and second, she is special. This deity, I wanted to say, is extremely special. Srimati Vrindadevi takes care of the forest of Vrindavan and makes it a place where the Radharani and Krishna can enjoy their wonderful pastimes. She keeps the gardens or the forest in a very nice shape, and in a very nice, how do you say, mood. It supplies the different things which the divine couple require for their pastimes. For instance, when it comes to the time when Radha and Krishna want to eat something, Srimati Vrindadevi has arranged plates full of fruit. Or when they want to drink honey, sweet honey wine, it is Vrindadevi who has made the wine and who supplies it. All over the forest of Vrindavan, there are lager, godowns, storage rooms, which are kept by Srimati Vrindadevi, where she has all the paraphernalia which Radha and Krishna require for their transcendental vilas, their transcendental pastimes. Srimati Vrindadevi also has many parrots which she has trained to carry different messages which are required for the information of Radha and Krishna. Radha will hear from one parrot that Krishna can be met, and so on. Sometimes we hear of parrots which even glorify Srimati Radharani and Krishna. These are the parrots of Vrindadevi. Srila Rupa Goswami describes her features. Vrindadevi has a beautiful complexion like molten gold and wears blue garments. See, you see now Vrindadevi as a little reddish. This is totally correct. If you mold gold, it gets a little reddish color, an effulgent color. So this is Vrindadevi's color. She wears blue garments. She is decorated with pearls and flowers. Vrindadevi is glorified as the most expert gopi messenger, and she is expert at arranging the meetings of Radha and Krishna. So Raghunath Goswami describes in Vraj Vilas Dava, Vrindadevi is a transcendental orchestrator. You know, like someone who leads an orchestra. Srimati Vrindadevi is a transcendental orchestrator of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. She decorates the pastime, grows, and creates a festive atmosphere to enhance the divine couple's pleasure. This Vrindadevi can also give us shelter and fulfill wishes which a devotee has in his or her spiritual life. It is said, whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy on him, you make him a resident of Vrindavan. That's why all the Brijvasis come with incense sticks and light to first give something to Srimati Vrindadevi, but then they will ask their respective desires. You can see Srimati Vrindadevi receiving hundreds of desires in the Dava Braj Mandap Parikram, maybe 200 desires a day. The desire of a devotee is to one day, this is described by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to come close to Krishna, to serve him, and finally to be fixed in one's original position. So you can ask Srimati Vrindadevi to bestow your mercy, her mercy upon you, so that you will attain the lotus feet of the Lord, that you are able to do some service to the Supreme Lord, and that finally you will be fixed in your original position, your original identity. These prayers can be given to Srimati Vrindadevi, and because she has so much access to the divine couple, and because she pleases them so much with her arrangements in the forest, therefore Vrindadevi is so dear that Krishna has bestowed a certain power upon her to fulfill your transcendental desires. So just a little bit about the deity here. As we have heard previously, the Muslims were very expert in Apara'at, and they broke, or wanted to break, different deities of Vrindavan. But the principal deities of Vrindavan were brought onto cards, and fortunately driven into the protection of the Jaipur kings, the mighty kings of Rajasthan, who were able to withstand the attack of the invaders. So all deities got carried, not Radha Raman. I hear from the pujaris of Radha Raman that they put the deity in the night in a boat inside a lake, and the pujaris guarded this deity with flint bows, with bows and poisonous arrows, so that no invader could lay hand on the Radha Raman deity. But otherwise, to my knowledge, all the other deities were brought to the Rajasthani kings for their protection. That's why you find Radha Govinda, the original Radha Govinda of which was worshipped by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Jaipur temple. So Vrindadevi was also carried on one of these cars, but when it came time, so they stopped in Kamyavan, but when it came time next morning to move onwards on the journey to Rajasthan, the king's men informed the king that the deity was not going to move. The cart could not be moved any longer. Further ox power was applied, but it just wouldn't budge an inch, because Srimati Vrindadevi really didn't want to leave Vrindavan. She didn't want to leave her servant. And she felt perfectly sheltered in her service. Personally, as a preacher, I find this very, very nice. It applies also to my life. Although Vrindavan is such a transcendentally inspiring atmosphere, we have our service, and that service is what brings us closer to Krishna ultimately. So the Vrindavan mood is a mood of devotional service, and Vrindadevi gives such a good example. She doesn't even mind her own situation or safety, but just declines to go and leave Vrindavan, because here is her service, and she stayed here in the Kamyavan. This is the very old deity. It was carved by Vrajanabhav, that is the grandson of Lord Krishna. Imagine this going back to the time shortly after Lord Krishna leaving our planet Earth. It's so ancient, and it is extremely transcendental and extremely powerful in fulfilling your desires. So, just like in the other temples which we have visited so far, Radha Madanmohan and Radha Gopinath, you will find deities which were carved after the original deities of Radha Gopinath and Radha Madanmohan. So here also you will find Radha Govinda, which are carved and which are identical with Radha Govinda in Jaipur, or the identical deities of Srila Rupa Goswami. So let us take from this place great inspiration. Let us pray, not forget to pray for Srimati Vrinda Devi, whose expansion is also Tulasi Devi. All whoever takes shelter of Srimati Vrinda Devi will have all his wishes fulfilled. Of course, be careful what you pray. I want to end my this little talk by telling you how careful you must be what to pray for. Once there was a woodcutter who went into a Vrindavan forest, but he came late. So when the sun was setting, not even much wood was cut. So he just said, "Oh, I was late. Hopefully the wood is, from where's the wood going to come? I really need this wood." And all of a sudden he heard a noise. And there was a pile of wood. "Oh," he said, "but the wood is not cut. If it only it would be cut." And then he heard some invisible chopping. Chop, 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 chop. And the wood got cut. "Ah," he said, "a kalpa vriksha tree. Then it's very easy what I'm going to. I want a rasagula." Plop, a rasagula was on his hand. Then he said to himself, "Oh, it's a little late. I want a bed to sleep on." Plop, a bed was there. "Oh," he said, "hopefully a tiger does not come." "Oh," a tiger was there. And the tiger devoured the unexpert desirer. So this is important when we go to Vrindavan, when we go before Srimati Tulsi Devi, Vrinda Devi, we must carefully sort out the secondary desires, like I want to know dhoti, or I want a good walking foot, or I want a perfect health, I want to have a new wife or a new husband, or whatever these kind of desires are there, specific desires. We should sort out the secondary desire and get to the primary desires, that I really want Krishna, I really want service to Krishna, and I really want to please my spiritual master. We should make this sorting out. If we don't do it, if we are not careful, we might end up with the wrong things, with those which are only there in the secondary category and not at all in the primary category. Srimati Tulasi Devi ki jai, Srimati Vrinda Devi ki jai, Sri Radha Govinda ki jai. Oh, one thing before we come to Goni Thai. Do you see Lord Nityananda? Yes? No, those you will see later those who have not had time. His hands are like this. This means prick, prick. He's just giving. He gives the prema dvani, the gift of love of Godhead, so we can go to the altar like this. But of course it's not a matter of holding hands, it's a matter of our devotional mood, if we can receive it. But anyway, we should do this. So, Sisi Go Nidai Naganati, Sira Babu Bharati, Braj Mandra Parijamati, Go!
And swallowed by Vajranath. Maybe even before that. Actually, even the Rai Maharaj told that even Vrishabhanu Maharaj came here and worshipped. He was very much desirous to get a very beautiful daughter. So he came here and worshipped this Kameshwar Mahadev. So we saw what happened with Vrishabhanu. So you can just imagine if you pray here to Kameshwar. Now the proper way to do prikrama is you go around until you see the water coming out, then you go back the other way, you don't cross over. And then you come back around this way up to the water, like this you do, Prakama Shiv Mandir. Isn't that Krishna Mandir? You go around that side, up to the... No, you start up, go around that side. Then you come up to the where the water is coming out of the temple, then you come back around again up to the water, like that. This is a proper way to do Prakama Shiv Mandir. Kameshwar Mahadev, you go around till you see where the water is coming out, then you turn around and come back around to this side up to again where the... You don't step across the water coming out. This is a proper way. That is Ganga Maya coming out. Hey, Kameshwar Mahadev, you can have Bajranath ne stapan kiya. Where they were spent most of their time here. Maybe not a Gadvas, but when they were banished to the forest and they were staying here. So here you can see some of the Pandavas. The Pujari there will tell you which ones are there. He's also begging for donations so he can paint everything white for Diwali, so you can please give some small donation. You can see Panchali is there, and I think Bhima is there. I think Arjuna is missing, Sahadev is there, Nakula is missing, and Yudhisthira Maharaj is there. A couple of them are missing. And now we'll go to that very, very famous place, the Yakshakund.
Yaksha.
That we'll hear, that's a very famous place, you know the Yaksha, okay?
Yeah.
We'll go see that very historical place, everybody knows the story.
This little hearing session like this, that we first talk about Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur and Surabhi Kot, and I would like to request Dinabandhu Prabhu, if you have something to add, please do so in that section. We have arrived at Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi Mandir. As we have heard, Samadhi Mandirs are something very important for Vaishnavas in our line. At Samadhi Mandirs, the personality who is in Samadhi is still present. There is a book called Samadhis in Vrindavan by Mahanidhi Maharaj, where he says that many devotees in the past and present have found great inspiration and answers to pressing questions in their spiritual life by praying at the Samadhi Mandirs. For instance, in our Krishna Balaram Mandir, we have the Samadhi of our beloved Srila Prabhupada, and many devotees in our movement have said that by praying intensely at such Samadhi Mandirs, Prabhupada has given them answers to questions which were essential for their further progress in Krishna consciousness. So here, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi Mandir is situated. Prabodhananda Bhajan Kutiya.
Yes, that's what it says.
It says Bhajan Kutiya, so. Oh, right. The Samadhi of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is situated right behind the Kaliya Ghat. It is just a little dusty alley. You have to go for 10 meters and then you are there. This is the Bhajan place. Yes. So it is said that almost the same, like the feeling the presence of the acharyas can be held or have at their bhajan places. When you have your chanting of rounds at the bhajan place of great acharyas, your chanting is supported with the spiritual clarity and purity of these acharyas who have done bhajan at these places, because also they are still present at the bhajan places. So Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur, as you might already know or at least assume, has of course his eternal identity within Braj Leela. He is the gopi called Tunga Vidya, who is extremely learned in poetry and all scriptures, and is also a great musician. She plays on a veena. So Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur has written wonderful verses where he has come to the conclusion of all the scriptures, and I want to recite a few verses from memory from his different works. One is from Sri Rasa, Radha Rasa Sudunidhi. It goes like this. Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madhura Smitasya Vajami Radham Karuna Bharatram. And the last line is missing in my memory. It goes like this. I worship Srimati Radharani. Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram, who has eyes like lotus flowers. I remember Srimati Radharani, who has a very beautiful smile. And I describe Srimati Radharani Karuna Bharatram, who is extremely merciful to the fallen souls. Yes, indeed, I do not have any other goal than the mercy of Srimati Radharani. That's a verse from Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur. In his Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur has described the extraordinary mercy of Srimati Radharani by telling a little pastime of a fox. This fox was once surrounded by little boys and driven into a hole, and then the boys thought, now he is trapped, now we can kill him. They put fire around that hole. At that time, the fox, in utter distress, began to howl for mercy, just some mercy. And it is described that Srimati Radharani made an arrangement so that all of a sudden the boys were diverted and they ran away from this hole. So when I heard this for the first time, I thought, am I not like a fox surrounded in the hole of my body and mind? There are so many obstacles on the spiritual path, but if just by some fraction of intelligence I manage to take shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, there is hope to be delivered from this dreadful existence of being surrounded by my own inner creativity. So Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur wrote many such verses, and in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, there he comes out with glorifying the Vrindavan Dham to the highest extent. He said, run, you fool, run to Vrindavan. Do you think your chanting of mantra will save you from death? Go to Vrindavan, because anyone who goes there will surely have achieved the divine kingdom. And although he outpours in these verses his great affection to Vrindavan, he doesn't forget the qualification to reside in Vrindavan. He said, chase away even the pure mention of the word woman from your ears. That word woman should be chased away from the ears. Now, this time, our Mataji's might get a long face, and I would like to draw your attention to a very important point, which is also relevant in the modern ISKCON times. The word woman is associated to the morbid desire of the conditioned soul to enjoy his senses to the greatest extent. Now, for woman, woman is man. How about that? In other words, if we are in the woman body and think of the man all the time, then this is a serious obstacle. If we are a man in a man body and think of the woman all the time, that's also a serious obstacle to our Krishna consciousness. So Prabodhananda Saraswati advises us to become free from the deeply engraved desire for sense gratification with the opposite sex. That's the sum total. And he is very, very determined to stay in Vrindavan. Prabodhananda at Saraswati Thakur says, whoever tells me to leave Vrindavan, I take a knife and cut out his tongue. It's a little heavy, to say the least. Dinavanda says this is not what the government should know that we. At the same time, I wanted to say Prabhupada's a statement Prabhupada made regarding this subject. I remember it was 1970. I'm not so good in years. Something 78. And we had just stayed in Vrindavan. That was our festival, annual Mayapur Vrindavan festival, and we were all going to fly within 2 or 3 days from Vrindavan. But we saw maybe a little tense feeling amongst the Vaishnavas, feeling already a little homesick, so to say, before even leaving Vrindavan. And he said, so how did you like Vrindavan? And there was a groan coming from the audience, very much Prabhupada, you know, thinking it, oh, soon we have to leave. And then Prabhupada said something very, very interesting. He said, now it is your duty to bring Vrindavan to the Western world. And he ascribed to that Vrindavan, which is on the spiritual platform, which we can appreciate in Vrindavan or Krishna consciousness. And this brings me to a very interesting point, more or less a final point, which will take a little longer, but which is really important to understand. I want to request all of you to give the best of your capacity for attention now, because it really, if we understand this point, it might increase our appreciation of Vrindavan manifold. See, we are now sitting before Surabhi Kund. In the year 1991, I remember, this was a beautiful lake, and Bhadra Prabhu remembers seeing even lotus flowers in here. Now, we do not see such a lake, but a remnant of a lake there where some devotees took the water on their head. At the same time, many other places are like this, that once they were much more full in showing their natural attractiveness, and now no longer. However, when we go to such places, we should try to view them through the eyes of Shastra, and in this way, in our consciousness, see another dimension than the eyes can tell us. See, there are three dimensions of a holy place. And I want to use Mother Ganga as an example. For the naked eye, Mother Ganga is just a river clouded with yellow sand or so. On another dimension, Mother Ganga is a personality who rides on a chariot which is drawn by dolphins and who gives darshan to many devotees like King Bhagirath, for instance. On yet another dimension, which is related to Krishna, Mother Ganga is liquid Krishna Prem. It was once when Narada Muni played on his veena for Radha and Krishna, liquid Krishna Prem emanated from them, and that's Ganga on another dimension. So there are different dimensions of the same phenomena, or the same river, and in the same way, there are different dimensions also of these holy places. If you look with your naked eye at Surabhi Kund, you will see whatever you see now. If you, however, look through the eyes of the Shastra, you will find a beautiful lake where a dear associate of the Lord, who is a gopi, Tungavitya, performed his amazing bhajan and wrote these transcendental scriptures of which we have heard a few lines. Now, when we go through Vrindavan, we should definitely try to see Vrindavan always through the eyes of transcendental scripture. Otherwise, we might make an offense. I want to give an example in relationship to the Brij Basis. Sometimes, when we have association with the Brij Basis, we see quite unusual activities. Like on the other day, I saw a Brij Basi walking through Govardhan Hill, squatting down and answering to the call of nature on Govardhan, whom we worship with abhishekhs and flowers and so on and so forth. You see, yesterday, one Brij Basi was offering our highly renounced Subhak Maharaj Shilam full with hashish, and quite unusual activities they have. So sometimes devotees are found to respond to these unusual activities and get excited maybe when they feel cheated by rickshaw wallahs or the loy bazaar wallahs. They might become overwhelmed with krodha, with anger, and so on and so forth. But we should take shelter in Raghunath Goswami, who says, even if the Brij Basis fill my ears with useless gossip, they are still they are my worshipable people. These Brij Basis are very, very dear to Krishna. And when we see some extraordinary behavior, even in relationship to us, we should understand that this behavior reflects our state of consciousness. And this is what Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur said. Like, for instance, when you are business-oriented, highly motivated for your own benefit, you will find out how the Brij Basi might, you know, rob you of all your money. However, if you are kind to other living entities, if you want to share and help, you will find out that all of a sudden you meet a Brij Basi with a roti in his hand and a glass of buttermilk. Take this. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, in other words, has helped us to see the Brij Basis as mirrors for our consciousness. We can see our own consciousness reflected in them.
Just in the sky, just like we see when we're carrying Nitai Gaur Sundar, both their arms are just raised in the sky. It says, Prorni Kritya Bhujadvayam, Hari Hari, and from his mouth, Hariyatri Vas Uchaya Vadantam Muhu. Again and again he's saying Hari 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 Hari. Prori Krishna Bujadvayam Hari Hari Uchaya Vadantam Muhu. Nityantam Drutamasruda Nirjara Chayai Sinchantam Urvitalam. He is dancing, Nityantam. He is dancing and how is he dancing? Nityantam Drutam. He is dancing very, very rapidly, just like a whirlwind. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Rathiyatra. He was dancing just like whirlwind. Even Nityananda Prabhu stopped his dancing to see the dancing of Mahaprabhu. Nityantam Drutam. And what's happening? Ashru. Tears are coming from his eyes. Nirjara, just cascades of tears are coming from his eyes. Just like before, in that Bhamana Avatar, that Ganga was coming. We were hearing about Ganga. That Ganga was coming from Toa, Lord Vishnu. Now it appears that Ganga is flowing from the eyes of Srimad Mahaprabhu. Sinchantam, the whole, everything is becoming wet. Urvitalam, the whole surface of the earth is becoming filled with water. Nittantan drutamasudara nirjara chayai sinchantam urvitalam gayantam nijaparshadai parivritam sri goda chandranu. Gayantam, he's singing. How is he singing? Nijaparshadai parivritai. He's surrounded by all of his close associates. Gayantam nijaparshadai parivritam. They're surrounding sri goda chandranu maya. I'm just offering more and more glories and glories to that Gaurachandra, that just like we are seeing in the morning, this tiny sliver moon, just as he comes up in the morning, he's sort of golden color, like that. So we're offering our obeisances, our prayers to that golden moon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, with very, very exquisite verses, this Prabodhananda Saraswati, he has glorified Mahaprabhu like anything. And by getting the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can really tune into this Braj consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, here at Uchagaon, the appearance place of Srimati Lalita, it is not by accident that it is so close to Varshana, or the residence place of Srimati Radhika, because Lalita and Srimati Rani are always together. As far as I am informed, I would like to request Radha Raman to check this. Lalita was born or appeared at the exact same time.
No? Maharaj, she was born in another place called another place, 5 kilometers. Here she was married.
She was married here. Acha. And did she appear at the same time as Srimati Radharani? I heard that her age is exactly the same. She's younger?
Sasti, the 2 days before Srimati Radharani. Radharani took birth in Ashtami, 8 days of the rightful night, and then she was 6th, 2 days before.
Okay, so we have now all the details. Let us start all over again. This is not the place where Srimati Lalita appeared, but this her village. She stayed here, so to say. Now, Lalita is slightly older than Srimati Radhika, 2 days older than her. So, Lalita functions in the transcendental Leela of Radha and Krishna as a Shiksha Guru of Srimati Radha Rani. Lalita will tell Radhika how to dress, for instance. Maybe Radharani wants to see Krishna and is not yet fully
dressed, the dress is not properly arranged. So Lalita says, no, just don't rush too much. Sakhi, just dress yourself properly. And you should not go now because you have just now eaten. And on a full stomach, one shouldn't move so quickly. Sometimes Radharani is in a mood of man. She is disappointed with Krishna and therefore not willing to see him. But of course, that is only for the transcendental Leela. Then she wants to break the man, but Lalita advises her, no, just remain a little longer, a little angry. We have to teach Krishna a lesson. Lalita is therefore the guru of Srimati Radharani, and sometimes we find Krishna going to Srimati Lalita and requesting her to please give a word to Radhika on her behalf, because Krishna also knows that Radhika will always follow Lalita. Now, we do not wish to go too much into the detail, but come to a very relevant piece of information for our own spiritual life. It is said that Srimati Lalita brings people to Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Whenever she sees someone in the Vraj area who has a little inclination to serve Srimati Radharani, she does all the arrangements. I want to tell you a little humorous detail about this. On the first Braj Mandal Parikrama, I developed some wound in the foot, and we went here and we prayed to Srimati Lalita to give us whatever mercy she thinks is fit. And then after I got up, this wound was very painful. So I had to see a doctor in Vashana, and when he readied his needle for the injection, a needle which has most probably seen 1,110 bridge basi behind, he was joking with me and said, you know, Raj is like a bridge. It brings us from the mortal world, the temporary world, to the eternal world. This is the arrangement of Srimati Lalita, who brings us from this world into the service of Krishna, of Radha Krishna. And I was thinking, oh no, now this needle is the sure cause of my death. This is all Lalita's arrangement, so that we will be brought to the shelter of Radharani. But what is about my different services which are still waiting? Anyways, the point which should not be veiled by this personal story remains a point of great necessity. Let me just wake up Malini, die ewige Schläferin. Point is that in order to come to Srimati Radharani, we need a guidance and help, and Lalita is the personality who takes care of this. In all phases of our spiritual life, we need Guru. Without the protection and shelter and guidance of our spiritual master, we cannot even make one inch towards the advancements towards the transcendental goal. The guru is he who brings things which are very far away from us into close vicinity, like a telescope maybe, which can be pointed to a far away star, which all of a sudden becomes very close and ready for our inspection. In the same way, these far away transcendental subject matters become readily accessible and understandable by the help of Guru. This remains true on any platform of Krishna consciousness, yet it stays even there as an eternal fact when we are approaching Srimati Radharani. Then it will be going through Lalita Shakti. So on this place, which is just before Vashana, we should all have a fervent prayer. My dear Lalita, please help me to approach Srimati Radharani. It is not by chance that we pass through Lalita's village before we reach Vashana. We should take the help which is readily available. Why don't we take help? Why are we so dull in our brains and so self-conceited? There is an interesting story about this question. It's about a person who is in the desert. He is dying from thirst. All of a sudden, he finds a man looking very refreshed, very energetic and dynamic. And he tells him, "Oh, you look a little thirsty. Can I help you and bring you to where the water is?" So if our man who is running in the desert says, no need. Who tells me that you know where the water is?" Then isn't such a man considered to be the greatest of all fools? I mean, obviously, he is not thirsty, this man who came into for help. He's ready to help. He looks bright and not like a cheater. He must have something to give, some water, and it must bring the thirsty man to the water. Only a very foolish thirsty man whose intelligence has been covered over would not accept that man who comes healthily before his vision as a guide. So also when we go through Vrindavan on Braj Mandal Parikram, only we are very tired and our mind is disturbed by thorns in the feet and bleeding wounds on our legs and bleeding thoughts in our brains, then we will not be able to take any mercy which is available. Here in sorry, I'm speaking a little tough, I know, but this helps you to stay awake. So on this place of Lalita Shakti, it is important to request her mercy in all regards so that one day we can approach the supremely merciful Srimati Radharani with full confidence. Here in our song we say, "O new moon who has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu," that's Srimati Radharani, "Vrishabhanu Nava Shashi Leke." Now, Lalita Sakhi Guna Ramita Vishake. O friend of Lalita, Srimati Radharani is a close friend of Srimati Lalita. And just like we can come to an important person through his friend, we can also come to Srimati Radharani through her friend Lalita Sakhi. Srimati Lalita Shakti ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. So I guess we should go now. Here's the detailed Bhattarapa book.
So it seems that from all the conflicting informations we are finally helped to the right one. This is you know, Lalita's transcendental arrangements. So the first information, that this is the appearance place of Srimati Lalita, and also the place where she lived and stayed, that is the correct information. It seems so. Yeah, the appearance place now. Whatever it is, we need. This is a very important point. That's the main point. But it really seems it is a appearance place. This is Avyabhav Stan of Lalita. Avyabhav Stan.
Lalita Sahika Janam Kaan Hua Tha?
Isi Jag.
Aur Karhela Kya Hua Tha?
Karhela To Dusri Sati Ka Kaam Hai.
Kiska?
Dasaka.
Aur Kamai?
Kamai Aur Yes Ye Aaj Sati Hai Jo Aaj Hoon Kaam Hai Jaisa Ti Hai Kya
Da. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, here is the appearance place. Yeah, yeah, I was explaining, yeah. The Shiksha Guru of Srimati Radharani.
Who is
the Shiksha Guru? Who is the Shiksha Guru of Srimati Radharani? Yeah. I don't know at this moment. isn't it wonderful how in the transcendental world these transcendental features are there, that is the divine pastime of the Lord. Radharani, who is like direct extension of Krishna, the pleasure potency, she has one of her sakis as her shiksha guru, who tells her to dress properly at the proper time and to not walk before the food is properly digested, and to remain angry, to tell, to give Krishna a good lesson. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How does this reach you, your heart? So nice, actually.
Personal.
So personal, yes. We all want to come to this personal world of transcendental love, where the Lord and His devotees act in such wonderful personal ways, which are just so enchanting. I want to just, because it's somehow not yet the mood to get up, we are a little... I want to tell you one story of the man of Srimati Radharani. Once here in the Braj area, there was a brahmana who had a daughter to marry. So this is, even up to this point, a difficult point, because one has to give a dowry with a daughter. I was just approached by one rich Parsi who has to marry her daughter, his daughter. The daughter, it costs today 51,000 rupees to marry the daughter away. So at that time, this brahmana, who was very poor, prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, help me to get my dowry together so that I can give away my daughter." And Krishna appeared before that brahmana and said, "My dear brahmana, I'm actually a very poor person. I'm just a cowherd running behind cows and being covered with dust from morning till evening. All I have is Radhika. Take her." And he gave her Radharani. So Radharani was starting to get angry at Krishna. Okay. And the brahmana said, "Oh Krishna, you have doubled my problem, because now I have to give two girls away and pay dowry." Oh, said Krishna, "But I have just given her away. I can't
I can't just take her back. It's a present. If I take her back, I will offend the Brahmana. Now it gets interesting. I can only buy her back from you. Why don't we put Srimati Radhika on one end of a scale, and I will give you as much gold as her weight is, so that you that I have bought for a fair price Srimati Radharani, who is Sunaranga. Her limbs are made of gold. Radharani was getting more angry. How can Krishna do this? First give me a way, and then he wants to just weigh me up with gold. How does he dare to do such naughtiness all the time? So anyways, she consented. She was put on one scale, and Krishna put ornaments and gold on the other scale until the balance was there. And the Brahmana was very happy, because remember, he wanted to have wealth in the first place. And Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of the devotees, and he gave that wealth in such a way. So Radhika was so angry. She gave away all her black cloth. She started to not bow down any longer before Ashalagam Shila, which is black. And there was a black rain cloud. She covered her eyes to not see anything black. She made a white circle around any tamal tree, because in her mind it was clear, I will never ever have anything to do with this clever black boy, and I don't want to have anything to do with anything black as well, which reminds me of Krishna. So her anger was very, very strong, and no one could break it. Even Lalita could not do anything. Lalita said, "Now, Shaki, it's enough. Krishna is suffering so much. Since many days he has not been able to see you. Please, break your man, break your anger." But Lalita just turned around and looked the other way. She was Lalita. So finally, Lalita acted also as a guru of Krishna. So she went to Krishna and said, "My dear blackish prince of Braj, there is no possibility to break the anger of your queen. You have to serve her first. Dress up as a girl, and as a girl you can come and massage her feet. You should be like a Namadi, a Baba's girl." So Krishna came to Radhika dressed up as this girl, and Radhika said, "What can you do?" "Oh, I can oil the hair and I can cut the nails on the feet." "Okay," said Radharani. And Krishna touched her feet and started to cut the nails, and immediately she knew this is Krishna by his transcendental cooling touch. Immediately it was clear to her, but she didn't say anything. She allowed Krishna to serve him, and at the end she said, "I'm very, very pleased with your service. I want to give you a blouse, one of my blouses. And I want to dress you in this." "Oh," said Namadi, "I'm feeling a little shy before so many people." "No need to be shy," said Radhika, and began to smile. And with the corners of the eyes, she winked at the Sakhi. They came and captured Krishna. "We are here amongst girls the same age. We can be just very jubilant, and no need to be shy." Krishna squirmed, and and then finally they opened his blouse and two big flowers fell out, and the Sakis were laughing and laughing, and they were capturing Krishna, and he felt so bad. And this way, Radhika's man or anger was broken by the transcendental arrangement of Srimati Lalita. So Lalita doesn't even only act as a Shiksha Guru for Srimati Radhika, but also to Krishna. This is how glorious the servants of Krishna or the servants of Radharani are. Sometimes they are made more glorious than the Supreme Personality of God, and so that Krishna apparently becomes dependent on them. This is in the transcendental kingdom of love, the rule that the Lord sometimes, or the Lord steps down from his lordliness in order to allow his devotees to control him and advise him by transcendental love. So let us, this is a very holy place and very anukul, very favorable for entering. One thing is, Pada Prabhu said in the previous place about Narayan Pata being the acharya for Parikramas, or the Braj Acharya. He gave different detailed instructions, of which I remember three maybe. One is, one should not go if it is on Braj Mandal Parikram, if it is too painful. So if some of us have a wound in the feet or somewhere, and it's getting worse every day, it is allowed to put on a sock or something to ease the pain after we have seen Hari Bhakti Prabhu, the doctor. Another instruction is, we should not circumambulate during the night itself. That is not to be done, except on the Rasa Purnima day, that is the full moon day. Then usually Govardhan Parikramas are sometimes are done. And another instruction is that the most important factor on Braj Mandal Parikrama is, and I want to ask you, what could it be? What could be the most important factor?
Your mood. Your meditation.
Your mood.
Your meditation.
Meditation.
To be well in Krishna consciousness,
to have the mercy of Srimati Radharani is the most important thing in Braj Mandal Parikrama. We are just collecting ideas, and to serve is the most important thing. To chant the holy name, to be free from offenses. Yashoda, it seems an answer is manifesting on your tongue. It was more or less said. Anyone else? What is the most important thing on Braj Mandal Parikrama? To pray for the mercy.
To maintain a humble, submissive, attentive attitude.
To maintain a humble, submissive, and attentive attitude. These are all very good answers. Anyone else? Narayan Pata says to remain in a prayerful mood. Not that your answers are not correct, but this is to remain in a prayerful mood, hoping to obtain the mercy at each place. This is the most important point. Sometimes we think our feet are the most important point, that they just, or the regular supply of sufficient amount of tasty prasadam. But these are of secondary necessity. They help us to go on with our Braj Mandal Parikrama, but of primary importance is to remain in that prayerful mood. Because anyone who prays like this will never have his
prayers disappointed. This is Krishna's promise to Srimati Radharani. Anyone who stays in Vrindavan and has hopes in your devotional service will never have these hopes, will never ever have these hopes disappointed. Srimati Lalita ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ibraja Mandal Parikrama ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. I can't take care of Vrindadevi anymore.